Hard things are often in the way not to stop us, but to bring out our courage and strength. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Hard things are often in the way not to stop us, but to bring out our courage and strength. Many times we are faced with hard things that make life a little more difficult. And we wonder why we have these hard things. We are given easy lessons in our life. Easy lessons, easy lessons, easy lessons. Then we graduate to harder lessons. And then we graduate to the hardest lesson, as Jesus called it. The last enemy we would overcome is death. So if we have done our work up to the point of facing death, then death is no problem. We live eternally and we recognize it. We can even take our bodies with us. But if you're told as a child to behave, and then you act very badly, and you make it difficult for your parents to get you to behave, then your parents oftentimes say, oh, to hell with it. And they let you go your miserable way. And then the parents wonder why you get in trouble, and why you're a naughty child, and why you get in trouble with the police, and get in trouble with your neighbors and friends and everybody else in the world, and why you even come up to be a criminal sometimes. Now, why? Because the people who gave birth to you didn't give a damn about you.
Really?
Every criminal, every person who cannot face the problems in life as they go along have not been trained in, let's say, birthing school. From the time you're born till the time you go to kindergarten. From the time you're born to the time you go to kindergarten, if you are surrounded by love, if you're surrounded by the expectation of always being your finest and your best, then you will be that. Now, there is not one person, not one parent on the face of the earth who has been able to train their children from birth to be their highest and best, because the parents have the technique or the program of looking at the child as an obstacle. They look at bedwetting as an obstacle. They say the child bedwets and that's something terrible. And they say that the child will not behave. They say the child is unstable. And they say this to their neighbors, they say it to themselves, they say it to the child. You're an unstable child. You know, you are incapable of learning these things. You're stupid. Mommy, why? I'll tell you later. You're too young to know now. You see, we don't know how to be a parent. If we could just open the book inside of us that tells us how to be a parent, the parent would say, give unconditional love. Look at the child and say, you're wonderful. You're beautiful. You know, I have often spoken, of having 12 Christ children. Having 12 test tube children who do not know their parents. They just are boys and girls, six boys, six girls. They do not know anybody, anything. There's nobody who is their mama or papa who do special things for them. And then to get surrogate parents who are Christ trainers, and who are surrogate parents who are Christ trainers? There are none around. There is no person who is not going to fall in love with the child. Well, you don't fall in love with the child. You give them unconditional love. You expect the best out of them, and you just love them to pieces, not because they did something or because they didn't do something, but because you love them, because that's your nature, to be unconditionally loving. There's no request for having something done. So you see, we have not been trained like that. Wouldn't that be wonderful if it were? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the parents were trained like that? And then, when the child does something wrong, they're naughty and they're given a spanking and they're put in their room and they're punished. Instead of taking the child and saying, look, you're a genius. You're God. You're the creator of your world. Now, whatever you want to create, you can create. And you create it by your thought. Now, hey, that's kind of old for a child. No, it isn't. You can start right in the womb and tell a child that it's the creator of its own world. tell a child that it is the one who has given you the name that you're going to give to it. To tell a child that it is wonderful, it is fantastic, it's a genius, it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You tell the child this from the very beginning, and what happens? The child acts that way. The child responds to whatever we expect from them. And why are there some children that are absolutely wonderful? Their parents expected that. You say, well, some of the parents don't act like they expect it. Well, they do. In their heart, they say, that's my genius. That's the chip off my block, you know. That's a perfect child. Naughty child, that's your child, you know. Good child, that's my child. You know, that's the way we talk. And that's silly. But you see, they are saying, the good child, that's my child. You're my child. You're beautiful. You're good. You're fantastic. Now you say, well, Herb, these are things that are just absolutely impossible to do. And that's true. That's why it's absolutely impossible to have a perfect child. It's absolutely impossible to have a Christ child on earth. And we love to do the absolute impossible, don't we? We love to have the absolute impossible be our criteria of what we're going to do. The absolute impossible is to have a child that is pure and beautiful and fantastic and glorious and wonderful and that loves itself and loves all the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful to create a child like that? Well, it's there already. We create a child out of that. We create a child not to ask questions. Of course, the child really already knows the answer. But we create children not to believe in their parents. We create child to say, now I can lie, but you can't lie. I can steal, but you can't steal. I can tell tales about neighbors, but you can't tell tales about neighbors. I can do naughty things, but you can't. I can drink, and you can't. I can smoke, and you can't. And I can have sex, and you can't. You know, all these interesting things. But what silly things to say to a child. You say to a child, as your body develops, you will desire food. As your body develops, you'll desire more exercise. As your body develops, you'll want to train your muscles so that they'll work for you perfectly. You train your mind. Now, how do you train your mind? By saying, I know that I know that I know. God in me knows the answer. Saying, I am all knowledge, all wisdom. Now, what parent believes that for themselves? And how can they teach that to their children if they don't believe it for themselves? It makes it difficult. So, we just have to take all the parents today and say, parents, you are who you are. But parents, you got a problem coming up. And the problem is, every child born from this moment forth is absolutely perfect in spirit, mind, and body, is absolutely magnificent, is a genius in every way, and treat them that way. Hoo-hoo-hoo! You know, treat them as the prince and princess that they are. Treat them that way. Wow, wouldn't that be something? Just imagine if we were told that we were having a prince and princess coming to stay on the exchange, student exchange. Wouldn't that be exciting? Have a prince and princess come to your house and your own kid go and live in the castle of a prince and a princess, you know? How would you treat a prince and a princess? How would you treat them? You'd treat them like a prince and princess because that's what they are. You would treat them with respect. You'd treat them with honor. You'd expect them to do the best. You don't let them do nonsensical things, but they are great. They are fantastic. They are glorious. And what a marvelous start that child has in going through life. Now, what is it that makes a prince and princess go wrong? Well, the prince and prince sometimes are not trained in the idea of ethics or morals or what's right and wrong. I am the king. I am the prince of prince. I can do these things, but you commoners, you can't do that. Well, you see, that's not true. You, as a prince, must be the ideal representation of all morals, of all principles, of all ethics. You are the expression, you are the role model for all the world of purity and goodness and rightness and truth. Wow! And, hey, that's not a big responsibility. That's easy. When you are taught how to do mathematics, it's easy. When you hate mathematics as you're learning how to do it, it's never easy, even if you know how to do it. And this is true of anything. So the bigger the obstacles earlier in life, and the more that we accomplished handling them, the better we are to do anything that comes to us in life, anything. It doesn't matter what it may be. We can do anything. And then as we go along. We don't look out for things coming from the outside. We look within to the center of our own truth, and we express that, and we express all the genius that we are. We express all the peace that we are. We express all the love that we are. And if we want to enjoy more abundance, you say, we say we're independently wealthy. If we want to enjoy a better body, we say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Ideal, we don't know what ideal means, but our ideal spirit, mind, and body. And the nice thing about not knowing what ideal means is we cannot say when we've arrived at it, or when we passed it, or when we've gone beyond the ideal into the super ideal. Is there such a thing as a super ideal? Mm-hmm. Well, why not? You can have anything you want. But you see, this is where we are. And when do we stop being? When do we stop growing? When do we stop being aware of how we are? Well, we never stop. Whether we're on this dimension or another dimension, we're always plugging away there, realizing what God is in us, as us, through us. We are always becoming more and more aware of how we are this fabulous, wonderful, magnificent being, this creation of the infinite. And that we are the infinite. That's the interesting thing. Now, the minute we begin to be aware that we're the infinite, we stop being the finite. And when we stop being the finite, then we stop doing the things the finite person does. Judge, possess, you know, what do we say, being touched by life. These are things we just let go. Because they don't matter. If you say, to, so to speak, we're living in the time of Atlantis, and they were able to just think their thoughts and instantly experience their activities. That's not just Atlantis. But if you were there, and someone said to you, give me your coat. You say, sure, here. And then you create yourself even a better one. You'd say, gee, he likes my coat. I must have good taste. So you just click your finger and click your mind and create yourself another one. And maybe you like to run around naked. So you create yourself invisible so nobody can see you. If you want to run around naked just to be naked. But if you run around naked to be an exhibitionist, well, then you create people around you who are not touched by what you want. But then if people around you are not touched by being naked, then being naked to excite people to be an exhibitionist, that doesn't come into it either. You have to know what your program is. Now, are you a clothes horse? Are you the kind of person who loves to wear beautiful clothes and loves to... The first thing you do is create around you people who love your good taste, whether it's your much clothes or your little clothes. And so every time you put on a dress or a coat or a hat, someone looks at you and says, my, you always look gorgeous. What do we say about Stefan? We say Stefan looks good anything he puts on. Stefan goes in the shower and he comes out, and he doesn't even dry himself. He shakes like a dog. And his hair all falls into place. He puts his clothes on. And it could be rags. It could be beautiful clothes. But the character that he is inside those clothes make those clothes look good. He looks like he's dressed for anything. And no one even pays any attention to it because they're looking at the sparkle in his body and his eyes and who he is. And they see him as a very special person. Now, can we be that special person? We are. Now, we must see ourselves first as that special person, and then we'll be it. You know why Stefan's so special? Stefan was the 100,000th child born in the hospital, and they called him Prince Stefan. And they gave him all the junk that they gave to the 100,000th child born in the hospital, and they told him all of his life, he's a special child, he's a special child. What a wonderful way to be raised. My goodness, it's great. Now, it's not too late. We can start raising you like that now, too. How about you like that? We can start treating you like you're the most wonderful child in the world. You're the 100,000th baby. You're the prince or the princess, and you're supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Wow, what a great show that is. Hard things are often in the way, not to stop us, but to bring out our courage and strength. See, what we do, we have done, let's put it that way. What we have done, we have sort of squeezed by the problems. Don't get too close to them. And we don't solve them. And they just sort of are hanging around back here. And then after a while, what happens? all those problems become an avalanche and come thundering down on us. And then they're really tough. And then you say, no, 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 I'm going to die. Well, and then you die, but you're alive. But you left this body behind under that avalanche of problems that you didn't solve, the obstacles that you didn't take care of as you went along. However, if you would take care of each little obstacle as it comes along, it's just a little stone, just a little thing. And you know what you could do with that obstacle?
Decide.
I'm sorry. You could build a lovely wall with them. Take every little stone and put it in your wall. If an obstacle comes along, say, oh, good, there's an obstacle. And you put it in your wall of your strength and your courage, and you can handle anything. And then there are no big obstacles that will ever come your way because you've got them all so small. And you have handled each one that came your way. Now, if somebody says, I hate you, you say to them, I love you unconditionally. You hate me, and I don't even know it. Doesn't do you any good. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't do you any good. You say you love me. Doesn't do me any good. Doesn't do you any good. Oh, yes, it does, doesn't it? When you say I love you, it does you good. Doesn't do me good. I know I love me. Whether you love me or not, I don't care. I love you. And you see, that's how the world goes around. But if you handle each obstacle that comes along, and the obstacle says, I hate you, I love you, I need you, I want you, I don't want you, you know, whatever you're saying, the silly things we say, what we're doing is we're building beautiful blocks in our life of strength and courage and love and honor and peace and goodness and happiness. And a couple more seconds, and I'll have 20 minutes in here. So with that, I say to you, hard things are often in the way, not to stop us, but to bring out our courage and strength and show us that we are each a prince and a princess. And we don't ever want to be a king or a queen. We don't ever want to be in charge of somebody else's life. We're going to be a prince and princess, just doing our own thing, having our own fun, and having a wonderful life. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.